Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong.
Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Ever shall our team be champions, long throughout the land.
Wheaties, breakfast of champions, bring you the thrilling adventures of Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. And that was Champ Stamp sound effect number two. You get it? Well, here's your hint. You'll find the Wheaties Champ Stamp, which this sound represented, on set number 12. It's the stamp carrying the picture of Hugh McManus, engineer in the Milwaukee Rhodes Crack Streamliner Hiawatha. Now for our third and last Champ Stamp sound effect. Put on your earmuffs. Now, I'll admit that that was a pretty hard one. But if you'll turn to set number 9 in your Wheaties Champ Stamp album, you'll see it right at the top. Yes, it's a Champ Stamp carrying the picture of Captain Bob Barker, famed Arctic explorer. Now, look, if you didn't get in on the Wheaties Champ Stamp game today just because you didn't have a Champ Stamp album, here's what to do. Ask Mother to get you a couple of packages of Wheaties tomorrow. And printed in color on the back of each package, you'll find a set of three large Wheaties Champ Stamps, each carrying the picture of some great champion. There are 13 of these sets in all. That makes 39 swell stamps for your album. And on every package, you'll find simple, easy-to-follow instructions for putting your Champ Stamp album together. So get a couple of packages of those extra good Wheaties right away and join the fun the next time we play the Wheaties Champ Stamp game. And now, Jack Armstrong, the all-American boy. The whir of mighty electrical machinery, the sharp crack of high voltage, man-made lightning, fills the laboratory in the hill near Hudson. Uncle Jim and Betty are waiting inside with amazing news from the Philippines for Jack and Billy. But Jack Armstrong and Billy have a surprise for Uncle Jim. They've just returned from following a mysterious stranger who broke into Uncle Jim's office, and now have entered the underground laboratory to tell Uncle Jim what they discovered. Listen.
There's the laboratory door. Uncle Jim told us to come right in when we got back.
Oh, hello, Jack. Hello, Billy. Back already?
Billy and I followed the man who broke into your office, Uncle Jim. We followed him to the airport. You'll never guess whom he met there coming in on the plane from the West Coast.
He met someone, Jack. Who was it?
Blackbeard Flint.
Blackbeard here in Hudson? Are you sure, Billy?
I'll say we're sure, Uncle Jim. And we followed them to where that other chap lives, too.
He lives at that tourist camp a little way up the road. He took Blackbeard there.
This is news, Jack. My Blackbeard's been in the Philippines. And he gets here the day I get this letter. That can't be just a coincidence.
Uncle Jim means the Philippine letter you brought him, Jack. It was bad news.
Bad news, Uncle Jim?
Yes. Professor Loring is lost or dead.
Professor Loring? The one who built this laboratory?
The same one, Billy.
But Uncle Jim, what happened?
I'll make it brief, Jack. You know what we're doing in here. Trying to capture the vast store of energy that's released when we split the atom. Well, there's one amazing element that breaks up into tremendous energy under certain conditions. That element is uranium-235.
Uranium-235? That's almost exactly like ordinary uranium, isn't it, Uncle Jim?
Almost. But it takes a lot of uranium to make a very small part of uranium-235. If we can get a quantity of uranium-235, we can find out how the atoms break up and discover how to capture atomic energy.
If you do that, you can make engines that could keep airplanes up forever.
That's right, Jack. And so could other nations. They discover the secret first. Professor Loring heard rumors of a deposit of very rich uranium somewhere in the Philippines. He borrowed a yacht from a scientific society and went to look for that deposit.
Did he find it, Uncle Jim?
Yes, he found it, Billy. He wouldn't write me where he found it. He was afraid the letter might fall into the wrong hands. And this uranium was so rich, he was able to extract a very valuable quantity of uranium-235 from it.
Why, it must be worth millions, Uncle Jim.
It's worth millions to any nation, Jack. But now the yacht is sunk on an uncharted reef in the Philippine Sulu Sea. All hands were lost except Professor Loring. And he was captured by the Mohammedan Moros and may be dead by now.
Jiminy crickets, that means that the uranium is lost.
Well, perhaps not. Professor Loring managed to smuggle out a scrap of chart which gives the location of the wreck. It came with his letter. I'm also getting from him a token of some kind, which must have something to do with the uranium.
Are you going
to
try and recover the uranium, Uncle Jim, and find Professor Loring?
Well, I certainly am, Jack, but it's not going to be easy. There's a powerful organization of unscrupulous adventurers who know it's on the wrecked yacht. If they can recover it, they can sell it to someone for a fabulous sum.
But they don't know where it is, Uncle Jim.
No, Jack, but I think they know of this chart that was smuggled to me.
Uncle Jim, maybe that's the reason Blackbeard is here.
It's quite likely, Betty. I know he was in the Philippines recently, and I wouldn't be surprised if that organization has already started to track me down.
Hey, that'd explain a lot of what's happened lately.
There are lots of things that need explaining, Jack. That token, for instance. Before he left Manila, Professor Loring wrote me about a white sultan who ruled over some of the Moros. This token, which is on the way, has something to do with that white sultan.
A white sultan, Uncle Jim?
Yes, and there's something very mysterious about this white sultan. And I'm going to find out what it is when I get over there.
Uncle Jim, you'll take us. You will take us, won't you?
Oh, please, Uncle Jim.
I was waiting for that. Yes, I'll take you. I've got to have a crew I can trust. We'll take your books along. You'll have to keep up with your studies.
Oh, we'll do it, Uncle Jim. You can tutor us on the trip there and back. When do we start?
We leave just as soon as I can make arrangements. I'll wire today to charter a two-masted schooner I know of in San Francisco. We'll fly there in my new stratosphere ship and take the schooner for the Philippines.
But why not fly all the way, Uncle Jim? It'd be quicker.
Yes, it would. But I've got to have a well-equipped schooner once I'm there. And I can't take a chance on finding just what I want in Manila.
Oh, I see. But what are you going to do about Blackbeard and his pal?
We're going to find out what they plan to do, Billy. Where do I answer the phone? Hello? Yes? Mason at the factory. Yes, Mason? What's that? Blackbeard Flint was around. He wouldn't say what he wanted. Good. I'm glad you told him off. Yes, I'll watch out for him. Goodbye.
Uncle Jim, did Blackbeard go around to the factory?
It appears that way. His friend stayed in his car while Blackbeard talked to Mason. We've got to find out what he's up to, if we can. Here's what I want you and Billy to do now. Go back to that tourist camp and wait until they return. Keep yourselves out of sight and pick up any information you can.
We'll do it, Uncle Jim, right away. Come on, Billy.
But, Jack, you aren't going to leave me behind, are you?
Betty can come, can't she, Uncle Jim?
Only on condition that you don't let them see anything of you, Jack. They may be too much for you and Billy to handle if they discover you and get rough.
We'll be careful, Uncle Jim. We'd better hurry, Billy. They may not stay in that camp very long. Come on.
This is a dark hallway, Billy. I'll be glad to see the sun and blue skies.
Gosh, you'll soon be seeing the sunshine and blue skies of the Pacific, Betty. It's going to be great fun sailing that schooner across the sea. We'll probably have Blackbeard and his gang somewhere on the horizon, too.
We'll try to handle Blackbeard before we leave, Billy. Just as soon as we find out what they're cooking up.
Oh, the bright sun hurts my eyes, but it feels good anyway.
Look, Jack. There's Blackbeard and his friend now in that car going by on the main road.
We're just in time, Billy. They're on their way back to the tourist camp from the factory.
Hop in the car, Betty. We'll follow.
Okay.
Say, wait a second. They're turning into the tourist camp now.
Well, we won't need the car.
Why not?
I know a path through this field that leads to the rear of the tourist camp. Come on.
I hope they didn't see us.
They didn't, Betty. And we'd better not let them see us around their cottage. Blackbeard's friend hasn't forgotten how we mussed him up and tied him down. Even if he did get away, and we stopped in front of the camp. See? What do we do, Jack?
We've got to find out what they're talking about, Billy. The best way to do that is to creep up to the back of their cabin and listen. Here, through this hedge. We'd better look things over, Billy, before we go ahead.
This is a swell place, Jack. That advertising sign hides us from the cabin.
Well, we'll walk up to that sign and then duck over to that other hedge. It goes right behind the cabin.
Which cabin are they in, Jack?
The very first one. Move over carefully and you can see it.
Hey, look. They pulled the shades down.
That's great. We won't have to be so careful. Stay behind the hedge anyway until we get there.
I can see Blackbeard now. And he hasn't changed a bit.
Blast the 40 gamble.
Blackbeard, sure enough. But he doesn't seem a bit happy.
Careful now. Here we are. Don't raise your voices. We can hear him if we're quiet.
Why, Colonel McComber's Dirk. You've got me all wrong.
Something, Billy. You know the name of the other chap is Dirk.
I think I have not got you wrong, Flint. Did the man at the factory welcome you as a friend? I think he did not.
Why, ram me on a reef, Dirk. I never said I was a friend of his.
But the chief sent you here from the Philippines because you said you were a friend of Captain Fairfield.
So I am. So I am. Why, Captain Fairfield thinks the world of me. Muzzle him, isn't if he doesn't.
Oh, Blackbeard.
Captain Fairfield does not think the world of you, Flint. I make other inquiries. I find out quite differently. No, Flint. You are going to help me get what I want. Tonight.
Oh, Rip Morrigan, who are you to give me orders?
I give you orders in the name of the chief. And as you know, Flint, Chief has arms that reach even across the sea.
Say,
you will do what I say, Flint.
It must have some organization.
The Royal Sturgeon. If the chief wants it done that way, we'll do it that way. But it's a crude and clumsy way compared to the fine touch of Blackbeard Flint.
Perhaps it is a crude way, but it is a sure way.
Maybe it's not so sure. Maybe someone will be in the hill.
I have made inquiries. No one is in the hill after 11:30 at night. There is no watchman. I have made a key to the hill door and to Captain Fairfield's office.
Hold the bill, just Dirk. I'll stay back and wait for you.
I think not. You are very big and strong. I shall take you with me in case of trouble.
Jack, I've got to see.
Hold it, Billy, hold it.
Yeah,
I'll put my hand over your mouth. Let's get away quick. Okay, Billy, it's safe now. Go ahead, sneeze. Sneeze your head off.
June!
Gee, that felt good. We got away just in time. Come on, back to the laboratory now, quick.
Jack, you suppose they heard me sneeze?
Well, let me look. No, they haven't come out. We've got to get Uncle Jim quickly and tell him what Dirk is up to.
Let's hurry.
I'll bet a million that Blackbeard and Dirk will have a surprise waiting for him when they break into Uncle Jim's office tonight. Let's get going.
Say, you can bet that Blackbeard and Dirk aren't going to have things their own way when they break into Uncle Jim's office. And by the way, just what is Dirk trying to get from Uncle Jim? Can he know about the chart that will lead to the precious uranium-235? Listen in, all of you, at the same time tomorrow and see what happens in the underground laboratory with Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy. Say, in just 22 seconds, I can give you three good reasons why you ought to eat Wheaties. Want to hear them? Okay. Reason number one, Wheaties taste like a million. And when you eat them with your favorite fruit, you've got a flavor team that tops them all. Number two, Wheaties give you a lot of good bodybuilding nourishment. All the essential nourishment of 100% choice whole wheat. Number three, a breakfast of champions is as easy to fix as falling off a log. There you are. One, two, three doggone good reasons why there ought to be a breakfast of champions waiting for you at the breakfast table tomorrow morning and every morning. Remind Mother to buy Wheaties for you right away.
Have you tried Wheaties? They're whole wheat with all of the brands. Won't you try Wheaties?
This is Franklin McCormick saying goodbye until tomorrow for General Mills, makers of Wheaties, Breakfast of Champions, who have just presented another episode of Jack Armstrong, the All-American Boy.
Wave the flag for Hudson High, boys. Show them how we stand. Every scholar team be stand.